Welcome to Local Matters, our weekly news podcast roundup. I am Margaret Williams, news editor, and joining me right now is senior news reporter David Forbes, who was at the city council meeting at which council approved the 51 Biltmore project, a parking deck and hotel, public, private, etc. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's been an extremely contentious public issue for the last few months, at least. And specifically, the city approved here was the deck. The hotel had already been approved. The hotel, which was built by the McKibben Hotel Group, will be on top. It's in a loft hotel. Will be on top of the deck, which it will have over 400 parking spaces in it. Specifically, it's a complex deal between Public Interest Projects, who owns the land now as a local developer, the hotel group, and the city. This deck, which cost about $14.1 million, we paid for by parking revenues. And this did not sit well with some people on council and elsewhere who objected to this. They said the city should be putting those revenues into transit. It should be putting them into sidewalks. That this was basically going to end up mostly helping the corporations involved in it. However, you also had a lot of proponents show up at the meeting, specifically a lot of people who own businesses in that area, a lot of people involved in downtown's redevelopment, who said that this was pretty desperately needed in that end of town, because there's not a parking deck there right now, that it would be replacing a parking lot currently in the Hot Dog King site.
How many parking spaces are in that lot, do you know?
100. About 100.
Now, in the parking garage, some of those will be dedicated for the hotel?
Some of those, the hotel will pay the city for them, however. And the revenues from this deck and other decks will provide the money to pay off the $14.1 million. It won't be coming out of taxpayer funds. Specifically, this was a 2.5-hour public hearing. There was a lot of thoughts on each side. For example, Chris Pelley's with the Hawker Community Association said the city should spend this on sidewalks instead of those, which are a major issue. You had people concerned about, this is mostly catering to tourists. At the same time, you did have the other side saying this would be a big economic driver for the area, that was a ready-to-go deal, and that the city shouldn't back out of it. And in the end, that's the logic that people pretty much found persuasive. Passed an accounts vote of 5-2. Brownie Newman, who's Vice Mayor Brownie Newman, who's been a big advocate of it, said that this is the sort of thing Asheville needs to provide more density, and the city needs to provide more revenue so they can use funds for things like for trains and sidewalks. On the other side, you had Cecil Bothwell, council member Cecil Bothwell, who's been a big critic of the project, saying that the $1 million a year from the parking revenues that will go to pay for this project could be better used.
And he and Gordon Smith voted against the project.
He and Gordon Smith voted against the project for somewhat different reasons. And in this upcoming issue, people can read more about the various arguments pro and con for the project and the arguments on council as well.
Mm-hmm. There were also on hand some of the other opponents to the project have been Park.
Yes, people advocating Real Conservancy has been a big opponent of it. You've seen a lot of, on the other side, you had a lot of downtown business owners, a lot of people involved in the redevelopment. PIP, Public Interest Projects, has obviously been a major player in downtown's redevelopment, who are advocating for it.
Mm-hmm. And in the end, it came down to a 5-2 vote.
5-2.
Moving forward. When will construction start?
Assuming that it passes muster with the local government commission in Raleigh, which seems likely, it will begin construction in March.
Well, thank you, David, for joining us this afternoon in the Fancy Express Studios,
otherwise my pleasure.
Known as our offices.
Indeed.
Thank you, David. Another big topic, which is actually the cover story of the week for both this week and next week, is our wellness. We have a double issue. You saw one on the shelves this week for January 26th, and we have the follow-up, part two, for February 2nd. A general concept of wellness is very broad. I mean, Asheville has been a center, a draw for health issues for a long time. You could say that back in the turn of the century, 18th, 19th century, we had a lot of visitors coming here for tuberculosis treatment, for the good, clean mountain air. So Asheville, in a way, established a bit of a health reputation in that regard. Here more recently, we have Mission Hospital, which is ranked very high for its heart care. We also have a very vibrant and healthy alternative medicine community. So, and of the many different aspects of that, what better way to honor that than to have a wellness issue talking about, again, the topics are so broad. We have in this, the coming up issue, sex ed for seniors. We have another pet health about alternative approaches like massage for your pets. We also have a book review. An author in, I believe, the Hendersonville area has written a book about from the caretaker side of health. Martha Clyborn has written that one. We also have a little bit about tea for health. And one of our freelancers spoke to the folks at the new Dober Tea House as well as Cafe Ello. And let's see, something else we've got going on is Mackenzie Lunsford, our food writer. She went with a team of Express folks to elementary school some weeks ago. And Jake Frankel, who's here in the studio with me now, went and provided, was the video team, the one-man camera crew.
I was the entire team.
Yes, the entire team for the immersion, the immersion in the kids' cafeteria experience, which I can imagine has to be, it's always funny when you go back to a school and you see all those kids. And I know for me, in any experience like that, it kind of brings back when I was in school. And
It did feel like
I can recall avoiding eating at the cafeteria at all costs.
Yeah, well, at the time, I don't think it did a whole lot for me, but it was funny. I found myself looking forward to going back there and trying that food again from a different perspective. And it was actually pretty good. We had the chicken nuggets, we had the mashed potatoes and canned green beans and fruits. They had kiwi and orange slices. It was interesting to get the kids' perspective on the food. In last week's wellness issue, we had a story getting at the larger kind of political reasons for why the kids are eating what they're eating. And this time around, we get the kids' perspective on what they like and don't like. And while there were definitely some kids who really liked the chicken nuggets, we were surprised to find out how educated a lot of the kids were on issues of nutrition. They gave us lessons in everything from why certain oils are bad for them, and a lot of kids said that the vegetables and fruits were the favorite thing they get served at the cafeteria, which was kind of a pleasant surprise.
Yes,
in fact, me and Mackenzie maybe aren't as healthy as some of these kids, to be honest, because, you know, I liked the chocolate milk and some of the less healthy things myself. And we'll have a video coming out very soon with these kids' perspectives and a little different sense of what the experience in the lunch line was like.
I'm looking forward to that. So we have a series of wellness articles along with a video that will come out about the same time that the issue does, a little before perhaps, mm-hmm. to share what it was like being mm-hmm. there with the kids, third graders. We was the third graders mm-hmm. at Hall Creek Elementary.
Yep.
Good. Thank you for that. Another issue that you were on, totally different spin around, there was a press conference held this past Tuesday by the People for, help me here.
Pretty close. The People of Faith for Just Relationships. This is a local group made up of local faith leaders. They had gathered this week at the United Church of Christ downtown to advocate for, quote, full equality for all Asheville citizens, quote. What they're doing is they're pushing for the city council to adopt a resolution that will do a number of specific things. They want to extend the city's employment non-discrimination clause to include sexual orientation, gender, and gender identity or expression. They also are calling for enacting an anti-bullying ordinance for all city institutions. They want to create a domestic partner registry to recognize same-gender relationships. And they want to endorse the rights of same-gender couples to share fully and equally in the familial rights, responsibilities, and commitments of civil marriage. Four of the city council members also showed up to show their support for the resolution: Cecil Bothwell, Gordon Smith, Esther Mannheimer, and Brownie Newman. And I interviewed Cecil afterwards, and he pointed to the show of support that those four members showed in being there and said, look, this thing is going to pass if the four people who showed up to support it vote for it, which is very likely. Yes,
that's 4 out of 3. That's a majority.
Yeah, so that's big news. He predicts that the city council will take it up for a formal vote in about a month.
That should be interesting to see how that works out. You can find that story at mountnext.com. Thank you, Jake, for filling us in on that.
Thank you.
You've also been man about the universe with the little bit of our snowboarding, our outdoors coverage, and mm-hmm. you visited with some folks in Swanano who have a hike series that's starting up.
Yeah. I learned about this really interesting Swanano Rim hike series, which basically encompasses a series of trips that are scheduled throughout the year, one per month. And it's about a 51-mile trip in all, which takes...
they do it in parts.
Yeah, in parts,
throughout
sure.
Throughout the
year. Sure, it's not a 51-mile hike. That'd be quite a bit. Especially because a lot of the people that participate in this program are retirees and older folks. It's sponsored by the Swanano Valley Museum. There's a cost. It's $20 for members and $40 for non-members. And that gets you a guided trip through areas that are oftentimes closed to the public. They take folks into the Asheville watershed, which I've never been in. I've always wanted to go in there. It looks just like some of the most beautiful and pristine wilderness around.
It is. I've been there just many years ago, and it was still a little bit open, and I was there on a city council gathering of some sort. I can't mm-hmm. recall at the time, but yes, very beautiful area.
So one of the neat things about this is for people who live in the area and have kind of had their eyes up on these ridges that surround Swanano and Black Mountain, they get a different perspective on their home by going up mm-hmm. along these ridges and kind of looking down. And so it seems like the wellness issue is a good place for this. Hiking and getting outdoors certainly for me inspires it.
Are the Swanano, the rim hikes, are they strenuous? Is it very?
I think it varies a lot on the hike, and you could do just one of the hikes. You don't have to do all of them, and they vary between 4 and 5 miles a hike. And some of them are on main chain trails, and some of them are actually bushwhacking. So I talked to one of the participants, a retired woman who completed the whole series last year. And she definitely said that after some of them, she felt really sore. But she also talked about just how fulfilling and how great it was and the great sense of achievement it was to have done all those hikes.
So, Jake, where can folks find some information about these hikes and about the group?
Well, for folks that are interested, they do want people to register ahead of time. They can go to SwananoaValleyMuseum.org, or they can call 828-669-9566 to sign up or get more information. The trips leave the third Saturday of every month, and the people meet at 8 in the morning at the Black Mountain Savings Bank and then carpool from there.
So February
19th is the first one
February
of the
19th,
year.
The first hike.
Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot, Jake, for joining us with that. Right. And that wraps it up for Local Matters. Thank you.